Let's listen to the Word of God. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves God is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and hearing of His most holy word. So, Jesus said, some trees have fruit you can eat, some trees don't. You know the kind of tree by the fruit it bears. This is an olive tree from the Garden of Gethsemane. Olive trees have very good fruit. The Apostle Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Several years ago, Joanne Spiker was interviewed by the Ladies' Home Journal. In that interview, she talked about how she and her husband Scott had been married for several years when he got orders to go to the Persian Gulf. Like many other military spouses, Joanne was very afraid that her husband was going to perish in the fiery skies over Iraq. When the admiral and Navy chaplain showed up, her worst fears were realized. Scott Spiker was the first American casualty in Operation Desert Storm. In the weeks following, a brown package showed up at the house with some of Scott's personal effects. It was his wallet and his wedding ring, his aviator wings, and a letter that was dated January 16, 1991, the day before Scott died. In it, there were portions written to both of their children, and he concluded it with these lines for Joanne. "I have lived with you in complete satisfaction," he wrote. "You have been the centerpiece of my life. If I am gone, learn to love again." That was 27 years ago. Their daughter Megan was 3 years old. Today, she heads up a wounded warrior project down in Jacksonville, Florida. Her 27-year-old brother, Michael, is a naval intelligence officer, and Joanne has remarried. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. This morning, we're going to focus on the dimension of God's fruit that we call love. Now, love is a very often overused and often misused word in our culture today. But if you are a part of God's family, love is absolutely central. So I'd like to take a few minutes and focus on a few things that we can keep in mind as we seek to let God's Spirit grow the fruit of love within us. Before we get into it, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, every good and perfect gift comes from you. As we gather around this morning, Lord, we pray for the gift of your Spirit, that you will fill our hearts, our minds, our souls, and every part of our being with the light and fire of your Spirit, that we may see things we have never seen before, hear things we have never heard before, and do things that maybe we have never considered doing before, for the sake of the love of Christ Jesus, our Savior. We pray in His name. Amen. The Bible talks a lot about love. In the Old Testament, there are all kinds of passages that talk about the steadfast love of the Lord, the kind of love that lasts from everlasting to everlasting. In the New Testament, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down one's life for a friend. In his first letter to the church in Corinth, the apostle Paul said, faith, hope, and love last forever, but the greatest of these is love. And in this morning's Bible reading, the Bible says, if you don't love, you don't know God. Love is absolutely central, a central theme in the Bible, and it's part of the fruit that God wants to grow in our lives. Love is not, however, what you read about in the fairy tales. They got married and lived happily ever after. Love is not the image that Hollywood wants to give us. Love may not even be the picture you have bouncing around in your own head. In the Bible, love is lots of different things, but it's not that. Sometimes in the Bible, love is very tender, but other times it's very harsh. Sometimes love in the Bible is very lenient, and in other times it's very strict. Love is lots of different things, but love always makes a difference. And so as we seek to let the Spirit grow the fruit of love in our lives, there are some things that we can keep in mind as we seek to let the Spirit do that. As we seek to understand what true biblical love really is, and how we can make it a part of our lives, we can remember that love first and foremost comes from the heart of God. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another because love comes from God. Apart from God, we simply cannot know anything about love, and we can't love. Love happens only in a relationship with the God who has made us. 2,000 years ago, the Lord God Almighty looked down upon this earth and he saw complete brokenness. And God's heart was moved. But God wasn't content to simply feel bad for us. God actually did something. God stepped down into this world in the person of Jesus Christ so that we could hear about and see what true love actually looks like. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people's hurts. He bound up their wounds. He reassured them that they did not have to be alone. And then in the ultimate demonstration of true love, Jesus took all of our brokenness upon himself and he sacrificed himself upon the cross. And because of what Jesus did, we not only hear about and see what true love actually looks like, it can actually become a part of our lives. As we connect to Jesus and welcome him into our lives, God's love begins to grow in our hearts. So as we think about what true biblical love is and how to make it a part of our lives, we can remember that it comes from God and it starts to grow in our hearts through our relationship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. A second thing we can keep in mind as we seek to figure out what this thing called love really is and how to make it a part of our lives is that the Holy Spirit helps us to focus outwardly. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Love grows as we focus not inwardly on ourselves, but outwardly on others. There's a great story about this guy who built a mountain cabin up in an area of Vermont where there's very little water. And so he hired an old Vermonter to come out to his place and divine for a water source on his property. And the old Vermonter found some water, and he instructed the guy to dig a well and pump water every day. So the guy followed the instructions. He dug his well. He started to pumping water, and gradually the well started to fill up. And after several weeks, he decided that there was enough water in the well, and he stopped pumping. And in just a couple of days, the well was completely dry, and he had to spend thousands of more dollars to dig another well. And so sometime later, he bumped into the old Vermonter, and he shared his story. And the old Vermonter said, "Did you pump water every day?" And the guy shook his head and said, "No." He said, "Look, the underground river in these parts is made up of thousands of little capillaries carrying water under the ground. And when you pump the water, those capillaries get larger and the water comes up. When you stop pumping the water, it backs up, the capillaries close off, and the waters go elsewhere." What a great image for how love works. When we focus inwardly, love starts to back up, and our hearts just shrivel up. When we focus outwardly, we begin to see people the way God sees them. And the love that God has for us continues to grow and mature. And so we can keep in mind as we seek to understand what true love really is and how to make it a part of our lives, we can remember that it comes from God and it grows as we focus on others. A third thing we can keep in mind is that love always treats people with dignity and respect. John writes, this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There's a reportedly true story about a time just after World War I when the Prince of Wales was invited to a military hospital in which there were 36 wounded soldiers. And he went through by each bed. He shook each man's hand, thanking them for their service and sacrifice. When he left the ward, he turned to the officer in charge and he said, "You told me there were 36 patients. I only counted 29. Where are the other seven?" And so the officer explained that those soldiers' wounds were so serious that they would never be able to leave the hospital, and it was probably best to just leave them alone. The prince would have none of that. So he went through from bed to bed, and when he'd come out of the ward, he said, "There were only six men in there. Where's the other one?" The officer said, "Your Majesty, that soldier was wounded so severely that he cannot see, he cannot hear, he cannot talk, and he is completely paralyzed." The prince walked into the room and saw the man lying on the bed. He could not shake his hand because he was completely paralyzed. He could not share a word of comfort because the man could not hear. The prince wanted to show the man how much he was valued. So the Prince of Wales, the future King of Great Britain, bent down and kissed the dying soldier on the forehead. The Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, bent down and kissed you on your forehead. He has wrapped us in so much love and compassion and mercy, and has given us back our sense of dignity and value. When we get our lives wrapped up in the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus our Lord, we begin to treat other people the way God has treated us, with dignity, with respect, with value. I once read a story from Catholic Digest about the formula for marriage. Guy was writing about his Uncle Bill and Aunt Teresa. Everybody who knew him, he says, knew their devotion for one another in spite of the fact that their lives together had been just one series of misfortunes after another. And despite their problems, they had remained devoted to each other. Everybody who knew them knew what a shining example of marital happiness and commitment they were. So the guy said Aunt Teresa and Uncle Bill decided to come for a weekend visit, and he wanted to make sure they were treated like royalty. So he wanted to have their favorites on the breakfast table for Sunday morning. Now, he knew that every time Uncle Bill went to the bakery, he always bought glazed donuts. And Aunt Teresa always bought cinnamon rolls. So that morning, Uncle Bill had a big plate of glazed donuts in front of him, and Aunt Teresa had a big plate of cinnamon rolls in front of her. And we watched, he writes, in surprise, as Aunt Teresa reached across for a donut while Uncle Bill enjoyed a cinnamon roll. And we smiled at each other as we had discovered that their secret of happiness had at last been revealed. God wants all of us to know the fruit of love in our lives. He wants that so much that he has gone to the greatest lengths imaginable to show us and demonstrate to us just how much we are loved. He helps us to turn our focus outward so that love can grow within us. And he freely pours his love from his very heart into our lives. So, I invite you this morning, maybe for the first time, to discover, or maybe even to rediscover, or just remember how much God loves you. It is God's love growing in our hearts that will make the biggest difference that we can ever imagine, because God loves us more than we could ever think. So next week we're going to focus on how all that love inspires more joy than we ever thought possible. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the love that you not only have for us, but for the love you have shown us and for the love you have given us. Help us, Lord, to make you the central part of our lives so that your love growing within us will blossom and flourish and become so much within us that we can't help but share it with this world. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.